Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, a show that features the people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. I'm one of your hosts for today, Greta Anderson, together with Gail Seiler. Hi, Gail.
Hello, Greta, and hello to you, the listener. Well, 2 days ago, we brought into this very studio a wealth of talent representing the elementary students of the Harrison Barnes Reading Academy, which is in its first year at the Ames Public Library. Later in the show, we'll hear their voices talking about what inspires or tickles them in the books they've read.
Yes, it's always great to see kids here at KHOI. And today we have brought together a wealth of talent to talk about children's books and how children develop a love of reading. We have Sarvinder Naberhaus, the author of Dog Tales 2, which is the second book about the big blue dog Smiles, who is the Ames Public Library mascot, and more recently, a book about seasons entitled Boom Boom. Welcome, Sarvinder.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
And we also have Diana Schmidt, formerly a 5th and 6th grade teacher at Crawford and Edwards School, and now an active organizer for Raising Readers, which together with the library is sponsoring the Harrison Barnes Reading Academy. Diana is also the coordinator for the Duffelmeyer Reading Clinic and teaches literacy courses at the ISU School of Education, where students learn to teach children to read. Welcome, Diana.
Thank you so much. I'm enjoying this experience.
And happy birthday, Diana.
Thank you.
And last but not least, we welcome Jerry Hyde, who people might identify as the head children's librarian at Ames Public Library, although I know your title is much more bureaucratic sounding than that. Jerry is also one of the models for the character Miss June, who is the handler of Smiles in the Dog Tales books. Hello, Jerry. Thank you for coming.
Good morning, and thank you. I'm honored to be here with such wealth of talent.
And I also understand there are other connections. Sarvinder, you were Diana's student teacher when you were preparing to be a teacher. Is that right?
That's correct.
So why don't we start there? Can you tell us a bit about what you learned from Diana about teaching children and encouraging them as readers?
Well, I didn't learn enough from Diana. I could have studied there for a long, long time. I have to say, Diana, seriously, not just because she's here and it's her birthday, Diana is the best teacher I have ever seen. So I kind of marveled at her teaching, and I wished I knew how she did it. I didn't quite learn how she did it. I think I would have had to study for maybe a few more years under her to kind of start thinking like Diana Schmidt. But Diana put hours and hours of time thinking about her classroom and what she was going to do. And she also had activities that made you think and that were challenging, and they were also very interesting. So when you put all those together, you want to be in the classroom, you want to learn, you want to be there because you don't want to miss anything that she has going on. I think in general, a good teacher is one that develops personal relationships with their students. And that's really how you have classroom control, is because you have a relationship with the student.
How did you transition from teaching to thinking about being an author?
Well, I think I had always wanted, I know I had always wanted to be an author. So that came before I was there in the classroom with Diana. But I'd also wanted to be an astronaut and a physicist and a mom and wife, and I also wanted to be an elementary school teacher. And since Iowa State was right here, astronaut was a little bit harder to pursue. So I knew I wanted to go into teaching.
So let's talk about your book, since it's so hard to get your hands on one these days. They apparently flew off the shelves at your book events over the weekend. I was able to preview it on your website, though, which is sarvinder.com, sarvinder.com, for those who want to look it up right away. The title is Boom Boom.
Yes.
It's about the seasons, and it's for preschool-age children, kids who are just kind of learning the concept of books and words and reading. What did you want this book to accomplish?
Well, if we go back to what we kind of started talking about this, but, you know, why did I become a writer? Well, when I was 8 years old, I remember writing my first song. It was on the front lawn of our house on Glendale Avenue. And it was called Round Love, and it was Round Love, Square Love, Everywhere Love, 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 because it was a 60s song. It fit in very well at that time. And so I'd always been – I discovered later on that I'd always been a writer, because when I looked back, I'd been writing songs when I was in third grade. And I spent a lot of time up in a tree in the front lawn of our house. And I actually knew Diana back then as well when I was like 12 years old. So I'd spend a lot of time up in the tree, and I would read up there. And the reading from books just brought me such joy. I enjoyed it so much. So that planted in me the desire to be an author, because I was a writer and I loved reading, and I wanted to bring that joy to others.
How do you convey some of the things you mentioned about being a good teacher in terms of really engaging students? How does that inform what you try to do with your book?
Well, interestingly enough, when you're writing and you go to writers' conferences and you know nothing really about the craft, and you learn a whole lot about the publishing industry, well, you learn these do's and don'ts that are all unwritten. There's not really a handbook for every situation, and odd situations come up, and you don't know what to do because there's no handbook. And you ask, you know, other authors and things like that. But the one thing they tell you is they say, don't teach. You don't write to teach a lesson. Don't write to teach a moral. If the moral is in there, that's great, but you don't preach it. So, in the end, it should have a lesson. It should have some kind of moral and depth and some value to it, but you don't set out as that being your goal. However, that's almost always a byproduct. Uh-huh. So hopefully it's there. I think for teachers it's there with the seasons book, because I kind of looked out there and there weren't a lot of other books about the sounds of the seasons.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I didn't find any, so I hope teachers can use it because, you know, as a teacher, I would hope they can use that.
But that's maybe a difference between teaching and writing children's books then, that in teaching we try to keep our goal or our objective more in mind when right from the start. So that's really interesting.
That's correct. We like to knock them over the head with it when we teach.
So the drawings, the illustrations in the book are really remarkable as well. Could you talk about how those came to be and how you worked with the illustrator on those?
I would love to tell you how those came to be. I feel like the illustrator that I got, Margaret Kodos Irvine, was really the right illustrator for it. She did such an excellent, excellent job. And it would be nice if I could take credit for some of that. But I really can't.
Well, it seems like it worked. The images with the text seem to go beautifully.
Thank you.
And you've had a couple of recent events where you did book signings, and those were very popular. And you have a few more coming up. Do you want to tell us about those?
Sure. I'm going to be signing books at BAM Bookstore on Duff Avenue. That's next to Best Buy. And that'll be Black Friday. And I'm planning on doing it in the afternoon. So we haven't set a time, but I'm thinking around 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
And then I'll be there as long as there's an interest. Mm-hmm. And then also on December 6th, the ISU University Bookstore at the Memorial Union, they're having kind of an author's weekend on Friday, Saturday. And my co-author from Dog Tales 2, Old and New, Roger Kleesner, he and I will be reading holiday stories at that time.
Nice.
So it's a story time, and we'll be doing that. They're going to have carolers there. They will have face painting there. They are going to have a Pinterest activity that you can sign up on their website ahead of time. So they'll have these hands-on activities for kids, and you can sign up. I think it's at isubookstore.com if you want to do that. So they have a whole flurry of activities happening after we do our story time, and that's 10:30.
Wonderful.
December 6th.
And that's December 6th.
Yes.
Okay. So those are great things to remember for our listeners if you want to do some wonderful holiday shopping for children's books. And
You can get it personally signed.
Wonderful.
Yes.
I've been reading a lot of books to preschoolers lately.
through the Raising Readers program, Reading Buddies. And I can say there are a few basic elements that definitely draw them in and keep them, and it's simplicity, beauty, and fun. And your book really seems to package those all together. So congratulations on a job well done.
And thank you.
Can you stick around for the hour?
Sure.
Okay. So let's bring in Raising Readers of Story County now. Diana Schmidt and Jerry Hyde are both on the board of the organization, which has, that's one of its focuses, the very young, such as the target audience for this book, with its goal of school readiness. So what does school readiness look like in a kindergartner or first grader in relation to reading and language skills?
Well, actually, it starts prenatally. And a lot of people don't realize that, but when a baby is born, you can start reading to that baby right away, and it responds with such joy, and it's such a nurturing experience for parents to be able to do with their children. So that's one of the things that we try to do in Raising Readers is make this awareness for parents that they're their child's first teacher, and they're their most important teacher throughout their whole life. So Jerry also does a lot of programs at the public library that help with toddlers and infants, too.
Infants as well, yes. Yeah, just like Diana said, it is a that first few months and years are very, very important. And the library is one of the first free resources to partner with parents in being their first teachers and providing that book or providing that conversation and that language development through conversation or just talking with your child, no matter if they're just a baby lying in the crib or cuddled in your arms. They still are listening and finding that enrichment of and that wonderful flow of language and taking that all in. And the more they take in before they start doing things, the more that when they start reading and doing that type of activity, the easier that will be. So reading aloud and talking with your child right away is just one of the most important things parents, grandparents, caregivers, any of those significant adults can do.
And Raising Readers also looks at research because we want to spend our time and efforts on things that we know really can work. So I just have a couple of pieces of research I wanted to share. Several studies show that parents who talk more with their children in an engaging and supportive way have kids who are more likely to develop their full intellectual potential than kids who hear very limited child-directed speech. And one more point is the child's early home-based oral vocabulary and early skills with complex oral language are the most important correlates for school success, not just in reading, but in the content areas past the first grade, essentially for the rest of schooling. And oral language development is a key to preventing the fourth grade slump, which I think we'll probably be talking about in just a little bit. But Raising Readers also has a program called Thrive by Five. And we have developed these modules for parents to use to teach their children. One of the things we have is a way to teach literacy skills to children through reading books. We also do exploring math through books, exploring science through books, social emotional development, healthy bodies, healthy minds about fitness and nutrition. So all of these resources are located on our Raising Readers website, which is raising.readers.org.
Raising-readers.
Oh, did I say the wrong thing? Sorry. Yes, you're right. Thank you, Greta.
I've been there. So I heard you saying that it's not, you shouldn't talk down to your kids.
Oh, no, definitely
you
not.
You shouldn't simplify your language for their sake.
Mm-mm. That's for sure, because there's a difference between everyday language, but then there's something called situated language or academic language that you can start using with preschoolers. You can talk about dinosaurs and actually get into the names of them and some of the facts. And the kids really just pick up on those. They're little sponges. And they develop something called these islands of expertise. So you might have a child that's interested in the weather or maybe rocks or something. They really get involved in those, and you can dig deeper into those. And all of that academic language is so important because then it can transfer over to other things.
And I'm going to do a plug for the library here. And that's why the library, the public library, is so important, because these little islands of information, there's no way that a parent or a can afford, for one thing, nor do you have enough room or space in your house for that. So coming to the library and reacting to what your child is interested in, finding those books, taking them home and exploring them. And that doesn't mean reading the page from page one to the end. That means taking a look at the pictures and talking about them, having that conversation, writing about what they are, whether that's a two-year-old drawing pictures and writing scribble lines, or a one-year-old, but just being able to react to what has been read and what has what they've seen, and then talking about it together. And the more you expose a child again to all these different things, the more of a base that they'll have, and then they'll be able to jump off of up farther and the rest of their lives, the fourth grade reading level. I mean, that comes naturally then, instead of struggling.
And another thing that Raising Readers tries to do is provide resources for families. We have a Reach Out and Read program where all of the kids that go to well checkups from 6 months to 5 years get a free book from a pediatrician in Story County. So we give out about 10,000 books a year through that program. These are all age-appropriate books that the children get. And the really nice thing about this is that the pediatricians say it also, this experience helps them in diagnosing the child and seeing their intellectual development, but just also being able to determine if a child is being read to or not by the way that the baby or the toddler responds. So we do the Reach Out and Read program, which is a national program. And then we have free little libraries around town, and we try to stock those with books. So we want to make this accessible for people. They don't always have a chance to get to the library, so we've tried to put free little libraries in a lot of different areas around town.
And there's a lot to be said to have that book at any point in time and owning those books. The library is important for getting the general knowledge, but to have your own book that's your favorite book that you can reach on your nightstand or find hidden under your bed or under the mattress or wherever that might be, to always have that. And that's what the little free libraries. And it's hard for, I think, many of us who have a wealth of books in our home to realize that there are some households that have no books in their home. So some of the books that the Reach Out and Read, the pediatricians hand out, are their only books. And the little free libraries are the only books that they've ever had in their homes, or the free books from a preschool story time that has gone out into the different neighborhoods and stuff. That's the only time they actually own a book. And there's a certain amount of pride in that, too, to have that book.
And we also do a gift book program. So, for instance, Bethesda has the special holiday food giveaways for Thanksgiving and Christmas. And so we always have representatives at those giveaways, and we give books out to parents that they can take home to their children. And we've had several grandparents that have said, well, these are the only Christmas presents that we have to give to our grandkids, so we give books out to the grandparents. And we also have books at food pantries and clothing closets and MICA and different places around town where we think maybe people need to have more access to books. We also have reading corners in 22 locations throughout Story County, so that if a parent is waiting for an appointment and their child needs something to do, they can read books to them. So we've tried to put these in fairly prominent places, and they're very nice. It's a bookcase with several high-quality books.
I was going to say, I've encountered your book reading corners and seen some of my favorites in childhood literature stocked on their shelves, and it's nice to see high-quality literature you know, available, so available to the kids.
So we've talked a bit about working with young children and the wonderful work that Raising Readers and the other programs do in that area. The children we had in the studio the other day that we're going to hear in a little bit were already reading more or less independently, and they were quite young. Can you talk about how Raising Readers works with older kids?
Well, one of the things that we did a couple of years ago, Raising Readers became a partner with other community organizations, and we formed a coalition called Ames Reads. And we have some major goals. One is school readiness, and another is school attendance. And then summer learning is really important because if kids don't read during the summer, their skills can slide backwards. And teachers have told us it can take all the way to the following January to catch back up to where the kids were the previous May. So we really try to do a lot of programs in the summer. And we're focusing on third grade reading proficiency because that is a pivotal time in children's lives where it's switching from learning to read to reading to learn. And so this is a key point in children's lives to just make sure that they have success in school in their future years. So a couple of years ago then, we started an after-school program at Meeker, and Dr. Donald Baer from Iowa State University, who specializes in striving readers, helped us develop a protocol that we could use in our community. And he runs the reading clinic at Iowa State, and what we wanted to do was put the reading clinic on wheels and take it out into different parts of the community. So we started at Meeker, and that was a success. And we've continued, and we tutor in summer in different locations around town. We've been in Hy-Vee West and a lot of churches and just very in community centers in various areas of town. And so we use these ideas that Dr. Baer has helped us with and seeing what we can do to make sure that kids are proficient in their reading.
The Harrison Barnes Reading Academy is a kind of unique program then because it is based at the library and deals a lot with library skills and building familiarity with the library as well as helping kids with their reading. And by now I'm sure people are asking, what does Harrison Barnes have to do with the program? And I would say he's lent his name, which is a very big deal thus far, to the program. Many people know of Harrison Barnes as having had a stellar basketball career at Ames High and going on to North Carolina State and then the NBA, where he's now playing with the Golden State Warriors. So right off the bat, putting his name on a reading program makes it cool, which becomes important for kids, especially as they're getting a little older. And you have a connection to Harrison or to basketball in general? I'm not sure which.
Well, I worked with Vanessa Baker Latimer in trying to find locations for our reading tutoring, and Vanessa became interested in our program, and she is the one that has linked us up with Harrison. And Harrison Barnes has a very generous heart, and he wants to give back to his community. And making a difference for kids in their future is very important to him. And reading and literacy in general is a big way that he can do that. So he is very, very proud of sponsoring this program. And working with the public library has been just a joy for me. One of the advantages to tutoring at the library is you have this plethora of books, and it's a way for kids to be able to get out into the collection and actually see what is there. And it's important for kids to have choice in what they read.
Absolutely.
And I have to say, the library, this whole program that Dr. Baer was implementing, and Diana is who's been really a spearhead of this, and she's being very humble and in her not bragging about what she's actually done, bringing this all to be out in the community. The library, due to the circumstances of the building project and everything, has been sitting back just waiting until we were done with our project so we could be a very active part of it in providing a space and providing the opportunity for the children to not only be tutored by these wonderful tutors that are trained by Diana and Dr. Bear, but also to be able to expose them to the library, which some of the children that have come, some of their first experiences are that. And so they get a positive experience at the library with this family that we're creating under the tutoring program, the Harrison Barnes Academy.
Yeah, and we made some videos for Harrison introducing ourselves. The kids introduced themselves and the tutors, and we've shared that with them, and I'm sure there'll be other communications with Harrison. And you shared with me, Diana, a list of goals for the program. Did you want to highlight any of those?
Well, one of the things, of course, the prime goal for our program is to promote proficient reading and writing skills. But I see that there are a lot of sub-goals or related goals that maybe aren't so cognitive, but it's so important when a student is reading that they are enjoying it and that they're motivated to read, because some of the kids I talk to say, I really don't like to read, and I can never find a good book to read. And I'm thinking, then we need to figure out what you're interested in and how we can link up those interests with books, because we can open up new doors for you. So that's one of the big things, is to find the kids books that they're motivated to read, and just to develop that habit of free reading. Kids are focused on video games and sports and other things, and sometimes reading is not really at the top of the list. But if they could find something they really are interested in and get involved with that, then I think this would make a difference. And then just having that one-on-one time with an adult that can spend time. It's tutoring, but it also, I think, is mentoring, too. And all of our tutors have this strong commitment to reading, and so they are excellent role models for the kids. So there's a lot of other things that play into this besides just the actual reading skills.
And even when the tutors came in the other day with the young readers, you could just, in the brief time that they were here, see that there were strong connections between the tutors and the young people. You could just feel it. It was very cool to see.
And Greta is one of our tutors, and so she might be able to give you that viewpoint.
Yeah, I sometimes go to sleep with warm feet, you know, just like my last thought in bed might be, oh, there's that kid out there that I just love now, who I've gotten to know, you know. But anyway, let's listen to some of the kids' book talks and hear if the program is meeting these very wonderful goals. The kids had been working on book talks for a couple of weeks, so it was just a natural to invite them to the studio just a block away to get their voices recorded.
Hi.
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 Sound good?
Hi.
Sound
good. Hi.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. We're ready. Hello. We have some readers here from the library, and they're going to tell us about the latest books that they've read and why they like them and if they think other people would enjoy them as well. Our first reader, can you introduce yourself, please?
My name is Preston.
So what's this book that you want to tell us about?
I Survived the Battle of Gettysburg. I like this book because Thomas survived the Battle of Gettysburg, 1863.
Okay. So the Battle of Gettysburg was in 1863, and this is about someone who survived that. Okay. Tell us a little something else about the book. Was there something funny or sad that happened in the book?
There is something sad in this book because his brother Clem got taken away by the slave catchers.
Corey read the book Henry Aaron's Dream. It's about Henry Hank Aaron and his moving up through the ranks of baseball and dealing with segregation. The book was written by Matt Tavares, And he likes the book because it shows that no matter what, Henry never gave up. He was always going to push forward. He learned a lot from Jackie Robinson about it.
I dreamed awoke.
He thinks that people should read the book because it teaches you a lesson, a little bit about segregation and about never giving up and pushing through if you have that dream.
Would you read another book about maybe another sports figure or someone who faced difficulties or challenges in their life?
Yes, actually I read another book about Jackie Robinson at school today.
Oh, really? Oh. So that's interesting how one book can then lead to being interested in that topic and reading similar books on that topic. What grade did you say you were in?
Fifth.
Any idea what you want to be when you grow up?
NFL football player.
My name is Brayden. I'm 7, and every time I come to the library, I look for books on insects and bugs.
And so, what happened last week?
I went to the insects museum with my mentor.
And you went to the office of an entomologist. What was his name?
Dr. Lewis. I've seen scorpions and tarantulas, stick bugs, cockroaches.
Big ones.
And praying mantises.
What does Dr. Lewis have hanging from his ceiling?
Hornet hives.
What else did you do in Dr. Lewis's office?
We seen bugs through little bugs through a microscope.
What impressed you about that?
That we seen parts of bugs' bodies.
What was your favorite thing you saw?
Millipedes.
Millipedes are kind of creepy.
And I also seen centipedes. A big one.
Are they different? Centipedes and millipedes?
Well, the millipedes are big and fat. And the centipede was yellow, blue, orange, and maybe kind of yellow.
Are you going to study insects when you grow up?
You I'm not sure, but maybe.
Gather round. There's nothing better than a friend.
Do you want to say anything else?
Thank you for listening.
My name is Jaleel, and I am in fifth grade. The title of my book is Diary of a Wimpy Kid Hard Luck, and the author of the book is Jeff Kinney. I like the book because it's funny and it tells the life of a middle schooler. One thing that was funny is that his friend Rowley and him were going to have a snowball fight in the summer, but Rowley's girlfriend kept him from having a snowball fight, so all the snowballs melted.
So what did you learn from this book?
I learned to have fun when you can.
What a day, glorious. Pitter-patter, falling rain, I can't.
So why should somebody else read this book?
Because it's silly and fun. The Guppy has his own sock, his own shoe, his own drum, his own kazoo, and he comes into a teapot. Guppy sock, Guppy shoe, Guppy drum, Guppy kazoo.
My name is Hope, and really, I am in second grade, and I'm 7.
Has the wings of faith.
My name is Taylor. My age is 8 years old, and I'm in second grade.
So tell us about this book that you read. What's the title of it?
Bear Snores On.
And why did you like this book?
This book is really funny, and the bear says, "Rachoo!" when the mouse sprinkled seasoning the snow with pepper.
The mouse was seasoning the stew with pepper, and it made the bear sneeze.
Yep.
So the bear not only was snoring, he was sneezing. And what did you learn from this book?
Good words.
Deep in the night, we had a raccoon robbery.
Okay, and now we have another reader who's going to introduce himself.
My name is Connor, and I'm 6. And I'm in kindergarten.
And you recently read a good book you'd like to tell us about?
On a Donut.
And what was that book about?
The donut turned into a dog. It had feet and hands and legs.
The donut did?
Mm-hmm.
And what did the donut do?
Be a dog.
A dog? So this was a book you liked?
Mm-hmm.
And why did you like it?
Because it was funny.
Were there other characters other than the dog and the donut?
Some donuts.
Many donuts there were.
Mm-hmm.
And anything else? A dog and a bunch of donuts and anything else?
No.
No? Okay. So are you going to look for another book to read in the library? What kind of book are you going to look for next?
Batman.
A Batman book.
I know where to find some.
You like the library, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How often do you go?
100 days.
I went more than 100 days.
Zillion.
No. Infinity.
109.
So in other words, you both like the library an awful lot, and you go a lot.
199.
Okay. All right. You could go every day, maybe.
We've got good friends to the left of us and good friends to our right. We've got the open sky above us and the earth beneath our feet. Never fear, the birds are singing, even endings can be sweet. Oh, what a day.
Well, we have to stop giggling with enthusiasm that we were doing when we were listening to that. You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and we're talking about how Raising Readers of Story County is working with partners to instill a love of books and a love of the library in children.
In the studio, we have Jerry Hyde, children's librarian at Ames Public Library, Sarvinder Neighborhouse, author of the recent children's book Boom Boom, and Diana Schmidt of Raising Readers. So, Jerry, this is the first time for you hearing the kids' book talks. What are your reactions?
Well, it definitely relays what we're trying to do. You were giggling. My eyes were full of tears because just like you spoke to earlier, Greta, about going to bed with the warm fuzzies inside, you know, this is what we want our families, our children to have, is that enthusiasm, the love of reading. And I know we asked them what they learned from it, but most of it was just being excited about the book. And that's definitely what we want, because if you don't have that excitement first, then you're not going to want to learn anything from there. So developing that relationship with the book and with the mentors that are happening, it's just a fabulous opportunity. And we are so lucky here in Ames to have an organization like Raising Readers in Story County to provide that frosting on the cake. I mean, we provide the books and an opportunity by the space, but the outreach that Raising Readers in Story County is able to do with all their wonderful volunteers, and in this case, the tutors, volunteers, to develop those one-on-one relationships is just priceless. So it's fabulous.
And Diana, you were here the day we recorded those and walked back to the library with the young people and the tutors. What was your sense of what they thought about having the opportunity to record their feelings and their ideas about their books?
Well, some of them were a little nervous about doing the experience. And one little boy said, I had tears in my eyes, but I didn't want anybody to know. So
it was a little scary.
Yes, but they were very excited. Mm-hmm. And they did such a wonderful job. And this is a fabulous opportunity for kids. I just want to thank KHOI and all of you mm-hmm. that are volunteering to put this program together for making this possible, because it really makes reading authentic for the kids.
Yeah.
Diana and I were talking afterwards, too, that I think the first time I did a radio show, I was in my 30s.
Yeah.
And these guys are 8, 9, and 10, and they've already had this wonderful experience of sitting in the studio and talking about a story they've read with a significant adult in their life and having that experience. And so they're already years and years ahead of many, many adults.
And there was quite a range of books that they read. Some were funny. Some were quite serious about the Gettysburg Battle and slavery was mentioned. And then about Hank Aaron's story. And I thought it was really interesting when one learner said that he wanted to read about Batman, and another chimed up, I know where the Batman books are. So it shows that they're really learning to navigate the library and find their way around and use that as a resource, which is one of your goals, right?
Definitely.
Well, we haven't yet heard all the voices we recorded the other day. We noticed a theme among a number of the book talks. The children were reading books that often went with movies they knew of or went with games that they were familiar with Legos, with Transformers, for example, Minecraft the game. That was some of the ones that they named. But they could just as well have been American Girl or Barbie or things like that. So we've put together some of those voices, and we thought that we'd like you professionals to help us make sense of some of the reading choices that the children are making. So can we hear that, please?
My name's Ethan. I'm 7, and I am in first grade. My book is about Lego Chima, Legends of Chima.
Okay.
They all used to be friends until a big rock hit Chima Land, and there was a war.
So Chima Land is a place?
Yes, but it's not real, because it's Lego. I've seen the movie, and there was something funny about it. When a skunk sprayed, he wanted to spray more at the crocodile, but it bounced off to the lion and the eagle, and the skunk was like, sorry.
I'm Jonathan, and I'm in kindergarten, and I'm 5 years old.
So, you read a book recently that you liked. Can you tell us the name of that book?
It's Hero's Quest.
And why did you like this book?
Because the waterfall in Chima dried up.
The waterfall dried up. And so then what happened?
They needed to find the legend pieces because they could restart the waterfall.
And is there something the animals did that you want to tell the readers about?
They tried to find the legend pieces and they did.
The title of my book is Minecraft. I like the book because I can build, and it gives you ideas to build castles and homes.
Why should someone else read this book?
Because if you have the game, you can get the paddle.
So it would help someone who maybe also plays the game?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you play the game also?
Yeah.
So this is a book that goes along with Minecraft the game.
With the help of this handbook, you'll be a Minecraft warrior of the highest order in no time. This book taught me to build castles.
So are you going to go out and build a castle now?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right. Well, good luck with that.
Meet the Decepticons, a Transformers book.
It's a Transformers book. And who wrote this book?
Jen Francis.
And why did you like it?
I learned new things about it. New names and new life about the Transformers that I never knew. It's a book that people can learn about Transformers, all the things about them.
That they might not know already.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are Transformer movies too, aren't there? Mm-hmm. And was there something sad in your book, or maybe something funny or...
Scary.
Scary. Tell us, please.
Voltron stole the AllSpark, so if he destroys it, all of the Transformers' life form will die, so none of the Transformers will live.
And was there a line from the book that you wanted to share with the listeners?
Oh, yes. The Decepticons will fight to take over the universe.
One last thing. What did you learn from this book?
Some new names and new information about the Transformers.
Okay. And are you going to read more about them, do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah? Because there's still a lot more to learn.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Tyler, and I'm second grade. And this book is Standing Small. And what I like about it is there's a whole bunch of pictures. And the pictures are really good. And on the first page, there's a police set, and I really like it. And it just made me want to get one of a police set, kind of like it.
Can you tell us a little bit about what the story was about? Was it about a policeman?
Well, like, the whole thing is just sewing some Lego stuff and, like, some Lego sets.
Okay.
And some Lego figures.
So it was all about Lego shapes and things you can build.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a part where there's a machine, and it's making the faces for the people and the torsos, picture of the torsos, and I thought that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI, and those were some of the voices from the Harrison Barnes Reading Academy. So this group of readers all talked about books with some kind of direct commercial tie-in. So we just want to talk about that a little bit. Maybe, Jerry, from the library's perspective, you could just kind of respond to that. What's the role of librarians and adults in guiding students' book selection, or how do you view that?
Well, the goal of a librarian in book selection is finding the right book for the person that's in front of you mm-hmm. and during the reader's advisory discussion or interview. And many times, especially in a child's life, depending on how much television or what they've gone and done with their parents and or what my schoolmates are doing becomes what's very, very important to them. And they want to find out as much information about that as possible. And that's from looking at pictures on that first page and seeing all what's going on or reading that important sentence in it. And so the kids identify with that. And so being able to find that book with something they're trying to identify with is a very important aspect of their reading career. Now, is it always good quality reading? No. Mm-hmm. But is it important? It is very, very important to go and provide that opportunity for them to have that book. And then maybe sneak in something else mm-hmm. That has a little bit more higher quality of reading accessibility. The Lego book that the one boy was talking about that was trying to sell him Legos, it's set up with all the different types of Legos and identifies them just like Pokemon did several years ago, the handbook type of thing. So, and they were identifying it. I'm sure he has spent many hours in a store that sells Legos looking at all these things, and that association was important to him. Mm-hmm. The little boy that talked about the Transformers, and that was kind of scary, trying to deal with things and getting as much knowledge as possible. Mm-hmm. Perhaps he's gone to a Transformer movie and it was scary for him, so this book has provided him a way of understanding what's going on and helping them cope with it. But that interest level is what's very, very important. And I know Diane has some research that okay. talks to that as well. So I'll let Diane quote that.
Great. Well, you brought up such a good point. I wasn't sure how to answer your question, so I tried to find a little bit of information that could back this up. And I do have a couple of quotes here. So to master Minecraft, which is quite a sweeping movement among all ages of kids. And believe me, I don't quite understand it, but the kids love it. And maybe people of all ages do. I maybe would like it if I tried it. But children often turn to how-to guides, including some best-selling books. Minecraft is motivating children to learn how to read so that they can master a video game. And this is just one particular game that's motivating children to advance their reading skills. And according to research, children will work through difficult words because they really, really want to access the knowledge they unlock in the process. And it's called situated knowledge. They see a piece of language and a turn of the phrase and they figure it out. So they're actually learning more than we might think.
Right. There's lots of research out there, too, about the games and stuff. It's a different type of reading experience, yeah. and it's a higher-level reading experience. So when they're playing the game, a game, and it's giving them directions, it's helping them learn that type of thing. It's like reading a recipe only on a video game. And so it's a very important type of knowledge to have, and not all of us have that.
Yeah.
And because perhaps we didn't have Minecraft when we were little, and we couldn't do that. But the Minecraft game, my 10-year-old granddaughter's really interested in it, and you build things, and you storytell, and you do all these different types of things. It isn't just pushing those buttons on the screen, and because you make something happen, you control it, and you can tell the story. So other skills are there, too.
Yeah, and it's really kind of challenging educators and librarians and children's authors and everyone to really broaden our idea of literacy and how we can develop the next generation of literate citizens.
Yes.
And we're on the way, but it's a much
it's
uncharted course.
We'll have to end it there. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. Our guests in the studio have been Sarvinder Neighborhouse, author of the new book for preschool-age children, Boom Boom, Jerry Hyde, Youth Services Manager at Ames Public Library, and Diana Schmidt, the driving force behind the Harrison Barnes Reading Academy, a raising readers program for kids at the Ames Public Library. And, of course, we heard the voices of the kids in the program.
And we should remind folks that Sarvinder will be having another round of book signings on November 28th, Black Friday, at BAM in the afternoon, time to be determined, and on Saturday at December 6th at the ISU bookstore in conjunction with a lot of other activities for children. Or you can go to her website to learn more about the book, sarvinder.com.
Also, a reminder that Raising Readers is always in need of reading buddies and reading tutors. Contact the group through their website, raising-readers.org, where you can also go for tips about how to build literacy in young ones. That's raising-readers.org.
Local Talk airs at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m., so tell your friends to listen in on the radio or online with live streaming. All contact information and a podcast of this show will also be featured on our homepage later in the day. Go to khoifm.org to access that information. That's khoifm.org.
We've been your hosts, Greta Anderson and Gail Seiler. We also produced the show. Our engineer is Becca Brown. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. Contact us to get involved and to learn how to do radio.
Yes, we seek to raise radio producers and listeners as well as readers in this community. KHOI thanks you for joining KHOI. If you have not joined KHOI yet, please consider doing so before the end of the year. KHOI is looking to raise $40,000 by the end of January, so this is a great time for you to join in. Basic memberships are $40. Premium memberships are $100, and we are looking as well for those of you who who can become a sustaining member with a donation of $250 or more. But of course, we are appreciative of any donation you can make. Please donate online to KHOI at khoifm.org, or just come by the studio with your donation or send it in the mail. You can find our address at khoifm.org. Thanks for listening, and see you again on the radio.